the proof of that tonight, as far as my part's concerned. Good. I mean good word. Come with power. With the demonstration of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost, like we've been longing for. Every night of it. Every night. Even the night that no one preached and Brother Arnold taking the leadership of this service, the Holy Ghost took over. Power of God swept this place. Hallelujah. Now we have been preached to about how great the Lord is and that He is Lord, that He's above all and He is all in all, King of kings, Lord of lords, and I believe every bit of that. We have been preached to how that the Lord's coming back after people that have prepared themselves. We have heard testimony after testimony of how we need to live, what we need to do, and so on and so forth. But the Lord has dealt with me for some while on a little bit different subject to that I'm going to try to preach to you. Now, it may seem like a question to you, but if you could imagine what was the most powerful source that the devil has in this air to destroy or to hold back the church, what would you say? We're going to try to explain to you tonight a little bit of what God has showed us. You know, the devil is about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Amen. And we're going to be reading to you a little bit from a very familiar scripture. And we're going to try to preach. And if we don't preach, we're going to have an altar call. And it'll depend on whether or not you stay with us. It's whether we preach or whether we don't. Amen. I don't believe in preaching to folks that's not in it. Thank God, but we'll do our best tonight to try to bring you the Word of the Lord as He has blessed us and showed us some things. And I thought as Don talked tonight, how He just got all around this and all over it and actually frankly right in it part of the time. We're going to be reading from a very familiar scripture, and probably not a lot here. We're going to be reading from the 8th chapter of Romans, and I think we'll begin at verse 1, read through verse 2, through verse 6, 7, maybe 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You've heard this over and over and over again. You've heard it. But I think I've got something that'll help you if you'll listen to me tonight, because I feel that God has given me, amen, this message. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is Paul speaking in the letter. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Are you reading me all right? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. Glory. I like that, don't you? Life and what? Life and peace. Thank God. Glory. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, now this is not going to be a high jumping deal, I'll tell you that, like I told you before I started. Amen. Thank God, but one day if we find out the reason we're not jumping, we'll be able to jump. Thank God. Amen. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now, we'd like to go back to verse 6. Amen. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And I'd like to say to you tonight that there is a carnal mind, and there is a spiritual mind. There is, amen, a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Amen. Praise God. And we could say again that being born into this world, we're born in the likeness of this old sinful flesh. Amen. Praise God. I believe the psalmist said in chapter 51, verse 5, amen, he said, I was shapen in my iniquities, and in sin my mother did conceive me. Now I want you to get something with me tonight. We was born into this world in a routine of what the flesh desires to do, what the flesh will do, and we was actually born out of control. Come on. We was born out of control. Amen. We come in this world, amen, without our consent, and we'll probably leave it against our will. Amen. But you see, there's a control of the flesh. Even as we were born, there's something about us that the natural will rule us and take us over. Just the old carnal. Man, it's pretty strong, isn't it? I heard Brother Buckner say today, he'd rather wrestle with the devil, amen, and praying devils out of folks, as to wrestle with people that's the carnal minded. You couldn't do nothing with them. It's just about that way. Just about that way. But in this old carnal mind, we sure do have our time. I tell you, amen, we can't do the things we would. You kind of whip the spirit out. Brother Arnold, we just can't do everything we'd like to do. We can't do what we need to do. Because that flesh, that natural controls us. Now I'm telling you, this is quite a natural source, but I'm going to tell you the strongest source before I quit that the Bible tells us about. I'm going to give you the strongest source, amen, of bondage that the Bible teaches by the help of the Lord. If you'll stay with us. All right. Amen. Everything has a nature. Your old dog has a nature. That old dog, whatever breed he is, he is bred. If he's bred to run, he wants to run. You can't hardly get it out of him at all. You can whip him. You can scold him. You can shock him. And you can do a little of everything. But if you're not careful, when you leave him alone a while, he'll do the same thing over again. Amen. That's just nature, the old dog. Just like the nature you got. Like the nature I got. Like the thing we was born with. That's the reason it takes a new birth to even get us shaped up. You can fool with that old dog. You can whip him. You can beat him. You can scold him. You can starve him. You can do anything you want to do to him. But when he gets back home on his feet, he's gone again. Once in a while, you'll beat it out of him to an extent that he is really afraid to run. It's not that he don't want to. That's about the way of some folks. Still a little of it in there. But you can conquer him, and a few, very few. Now you see, Jesus came unto the Jews, and he said, he came unto his own received him not, but as many as did, gave him power to become the sons of God. Amen? Okay? That's just where we are. But a few of them you can beat out, and a few will burn out. You can run some of those old dogs, and if they get in the heat of the race just right, they may burn out. They get some dogs that will press them until they run out. But if you're not careful, when you let that old dog rest a while, he'll try it again. Once in a while, you totally break them. In which there is some things can be controlled in the flesh. Hear me? In the natural. Amen? I'm talking about carnal things, such as work, such as businesses, such as living. You can conquer a lot of things in the flesh, and you can overcome them. But you better always keep your feet on them. Because if you don't, remember that seed's in there, and it's always going to come back again. It'll come back again. Now, since I feel tonight that God wants me to talk to you, I may not do a whole lot of preaching. Never preached this in my life. Thank God. Amen. But I feel like that it's very necessary now. You've got a fleshly nature that you have absolutely got to keep crucified and keep at the foot of the cross, or else this nature will overwhelm you. Amen. All right, but there is dogs you can whoop out. There's horses in the same like manner, hard to break because they was born to broke, and that's in them. You can hardly break them to work. Come on. And even if you do, you better watch them. You better not turn the lines loose because they're going to run off. They've got it in them. They was born with it. They didn't have no spiritual birth to take it out. Didn't have the help you and I got. But that's in them. That's natural sources that will take us over. Natural sources. But that wasn't what nailed Jesus to the cross. That wasn't what nailed him to the cross. The natural wasn't what nailed him to the cross. Amen. Natural living didn't nail him to the cross. Amen. Natural works of this world didn't nail him to the cross. Not at all. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The most powerful weapon that the devil's got today is the power of religion, power of religious routines.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
Traditions. Now, won't you stay with me? Don't you get mad at me. Don't you get mad at me. Every one of us has been taught something from the time we was born into this world up until now. We have been taught one way or the other. 90% of people that don't go to church, well, I'll not make it that much, but they used to be, would tell their children old hate stories. How many ever heard them old hate stories told? And they told about what come in the room, and they heard a certain thing in the loft, and they heard a certain thing on the roof, and they heard horses running around the building, and all these sort of things. Until some of you that's sitting right here now, you believe that it actually happened to him. You don't know it, but you might have doubted it. You might have said there wasn't nothing to it, but because it was beating your head, amen, thank God you got just a little bit of that in you. Saying, well, I guess that's the way it was. They said it was. Oh, I don't guess it's the way it was. It surely wasn't like that. I really don't believe in it. But then you catch yourself again believing in it. Okay? That's a natural tradition that men and women carry on. A natural source. We can kindly whip that out. But when it comes down to a tradition, amen, of religion, it's hard to handle. Now come on, folks. I'm going to shoot at you now. You say, I haven't got any traditions. You better wait. Now wait a minute. Don't bounce on the floor right now. You better search yourself. You got them. Come on. If you hadn't got them, they've got you. We're living in an hour when the devil is using religion, traditions, to keep folks from getting what they need. Come on. I said the devil is using religious traditions, religion. There's only one salvation. There's only one way. We know that. How many believe there's only one way to go to heaven? Raise your hand. Wave it a little bit. But that devil's using that weapon in this hour. He's using that weapon of traditions, of saying, if so-and-so's not of our group, amen, and we just don't feel really right around them. So-and-so's not of our group, and we can't give them the right hand of fellowship. These spirits is in our world. That's what keeps folks is that tradition, amen, of religion. Amen, come on. What nailed Jesus to the cross? It was a religious tradition. Come on. Amen. It wasn't the way Mama made the bread. Thank God. It wasn't the way that she cooked the beans. Come on. Some of us got to love that in us. We got that natural tradition in there. Hard to control. My mama always told me to not carry a hoe in the house. If I did carry it out, walk back with it. I declared I didn't believe it. I'd just get so aggravated and I'd carry that hoe out. And in my mind, I was afraid to say it out loud. I was saying, Mama, this is the biggest gob of foolishness I ever heard while I walked backwards to carry the hoe out. Some of you are doing the same thing. You're trying to carry it out, but it's still in there. It's a little bit of it in you yet. I'd carry that hoe out. She said, if that broom, you step over that stick and that broom's laying the floor, boy, you step backwards over it and be sure what you do. Kawam! Mama, I don't believe in that. I didn't tell her. But down inside, Mama, I don't believe a word of it. I want you to listen to me tonight. If we could ever get acquainted with ourselves, we'd whip the devil. Come on. I said we'd whip the devil in circle if we could ever become to know ourselves as we are. I argued that in my heart. I'd say I don't believe it. Mama, I just don't believe it. But you just let somebody carry a hoe in the house. And I just thought I didn't believe a little bit in it. I'll think of it. I don't believe it yet. I say I don't. And I declare I don't. Now come on, stay with me. I'm telling you the truth. But Brother Roy, there's something about it when somebody carries a hoe in the house that I remember what Mama said. Oh, come on. That's the first thing hit me. Bless God, you're going to have to carry it out backwards.
That's right. Amen.
Some of you think you've killed every speck of tradition there are in you, and it's just as live as it can be. Come on. We hadn't got it near kill yet. I've heard people declare if a black cat run across the road, it's going to be bad luck. You have to. Come on. Come on. How many ever heard that old junk? You know it's junk. You know that it as well be a black and as a yellow one. Now some of you ain't swallowing this at all. Because it's too far back. It's been taught too long. Amen. It as well to be a black and as a yellow one or white. It's just a cat. Amen. Just a cat of a different color. Come on, just a cat. That's all it is to it. That black cat, no more bad luck than the white one. Amen. And the white one's no more bad luck than the yellow one. But what in the world makes us think of that old mess every time we see a black cat run across the road? I don't believe it. I said I don't, but every time, I'm going to tell you, that tradition's strong in the flesh, but that religion tradition is so strong, we hadn't got it figured out yet. If we go into a congregation of people of different faith, if we're not careful, we're going to sit there like a knot on a log and say, oh well, you know, we're of a different faith. There ain't no different faith. There ain't no such a thing as a different faith. The Bible said one faith. Oh, one Lord. And one baptism. Come on, folks. Come on. Amen. Have you got anything like that? Somebody said, now I ain't going to that altar because folks are going to lay hands on one another. They're praying and they're maneuvering and just perhaps that'd rub off on me. Amen. And I'd act like that. None of my people ever done that. And I tell you, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, none of my people ever done that. And I knew anything about it either. But I tell you, when I got about that high, seemed to me like off of the floor, dancing in the spirit, till I didn't know whether I was ever going to be able to stop or not. And the devil, and after about the first 30 minutes, the spirit lifted. The devil set me down on a bed in the old living room, and he began to give me a going over. He said, "Hey, look here, son, there's been never been any of your people that ever done this. There's never been anybody ever done it. You can't prove it by the word." I didn't know that much word. I just knowed I had a hold of something that I couldn't turn loose of. Thank God. I didn't know that much word, but I just knowed I had a hold of something that I'd never had a hold of before. And I began to talk to that devil. And I realized it's the devil. I wish you'd do that tonight. Begin to talk to that devil that tries to talk you out of what you need. And I said, "Devil, I was raised in this old home. And we had the square dates, the round dates, and the waltz. Kick fights, fist fights, scratch fights, hair pulling, name it. And I never did feel anything like this there."
Right. Come on, brother.
Come on! Nothing like this. And sister, I'll tell you, that anointing come down again. My, my, that time I was caught up in a whirlwind of the south. My feet was going as fast as faster than I ever thought they could go. My tongue was speaking in another language that I couldn't control. You know what God was doing? He was trying to get all that old tradition out of me. Amen. Now, I never was taught a lot of religion. Amen. Are you hearing me? Thank God we don't need to be taught religion. That's not what we need. We need to be taught salvation. Salvation comes from God. Religion can work in every area. Come on. Thank God that we need to be anchored in salvation. Can you say amen?
Amen.
God began to bring me out of some of them traditions, religious traditions. It began to make me bold. It began to let me stand out. It began to let me stand up. Now, folks, God's got what we need. All right, what are we talking about? We're going to leave the natural. You can control some things in the natural, but this is one thing you'll never be able to control unless you turn it over to God. Amen. Close your eyes, wade into the water, thank God, and get what God's got in store for you, or you will never be able to control that demon. Come on.
Amen.
Religious demons are in the world today. Come on. I mean, we've got lots of religious demons that's in the world. Now, folks, I'm trying to get along as fast as I can. Amen. And if you'll help me, we'll move right along. I'd like to have an altar service tonight. I'd like to see you kick every religious demon that ever haunted you. I'd like to see you kick it off in this sawdust tonight. I'd like to see you lift up them hands and hang low. I'd like to see you, bless God, get filled, anointed, thank God, with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Are saved. Now, sinners is in the same boat that the Christians in, to an extent. The only thing the Christians had an experience that they hadn't had. But you see, we got a lot of sinners that's standing back and they say, "Well, my mama didn't believe in this, and my mama didn't believe in that." Come on. And because they don't believe in it, I don't either. I had a man that was dying, didn't live but just a little while. And he said to me not long ago, he said, "Now, I just don't believe in healing. I believe in letting God's will be done." This is the very words he said. "And I just don't believe in being prayed for. I just believe in letting God's will be done." But he believed in something. He went to the hospital, let him cut on him. Never did come out. Come on. I never had anything to prick my heart so in all my life. And I thought, "My God, really, you don't believe it. It's because that mama or daddy or some of the background didn't believe it. Brother Roy, it's time that we're turning loose of the things that's hindering us. Let me tell you something, sinner. You may not believe in me. You don't have to believe in me. But you've got to believe in God. You've got to believe the Word of God. Hear me. You must believe the Word of God. And I thought, oh my, if I was just going to let the Lord's will be done, I wouldn't dare let a doctor cut on me.
That's right.
Oh, sir, I wouldn't dare to. I could see the pressure of somebody being taught, amen, every religion that believed that God was a puny God, that He wasn't able to perform. Oh, brother, I may die tonight. I'm going to tell you, God's still in the healing business. He's as real as He ever was. Thank God. Amen. I don't care how many people's lost in this world. God's as much in the saving business today as He's ever been. Thank God. Listen to me. We need to shed off those things that keep us from praying in the altar with God's people. Somebody said, they don't need me. That's a devil. That's the devil whispering to you, saying that the church don't need you. And then there's another that's whispering to you that's saying you don't need the church. It's nothing but a lie out of the pits of hell. And we can't survive cut loose from the church. We can't survive. I don't care. You say, I don't believe in what those people's doing. I don't want to be bound up and wound up, obligated in no church. I don't want to be a partaker with no group of people. But I tell you what we will do. It's just like turning a lamb loose in the middle of the forest with 1,000 wolves around him. I want in the middle of the church. Come on, I ain't saying I want in the middle of a denomination or a name. I'm saying I want in the middle of God's people that will believe what the Word of God teaches, act on it by faith, and if they fall down, they'll get up, thank God, and press on and fight this thing, because if we don't, we're going to die. This is the strongest source that the devil has ever had, is a religious tradition. All right, I'd like to take you back. We're going to get along as fast as we can. We'd like to go back over here in the Old Testament. I'd like to go back to a little story that's found back over in the 18th chapter of 2 Kings. Amen. And I believe about verse 21, there's more there we could read. But there come a time, I want you to notice, this tradition, this religious tradition has been working a long, long time. It ain't no new thing. It started right after, amen, Adam and Eve came out of the garden. This tradition started. Come on, help me. But we find that old Elijah came back to protest the false prophets. Amen. The Bible said in verse 21, in chapter 18, said he gathered the people. In chapter 20, they gathered the people together. Amen. On Mount Carmel, he got ready for the protest. Come on. Now, when you go to protesting traditions, religious traditions, buddy, you've got you a job. Come on, I won't preach to you directly. I'm just talking to you now. You've got something on your hands you better prepare yourself for. Because they are strong. They are powerful. Are you hearing me? They are strong and they are powerful because they're exactly what nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. Are you yet with me? I wish I could stay up here like some people do. About the only way I know, they'll have to put a ring down there and put a chain on my foot to keep me up here. But you see, when it come down to the nitty-gritty, he said in verse 21, he called all the people together, and he said, well, why halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, ye serve Him. And if Baal be, well, yes, sir, him. Now, I want you to notice a lot of things have been going on, amen, in that country before this ever happened. It don't matter what goes on, when people so traditional blinded, you couldn't stop them, amen, with a double barbed wire fence. And he said, why ought ye between two opinions? If God be God, yes, serve him. And if Baal be, yes, serve him. And the Bible said that people didn't answer him a word. I want you to notice something with me. And then again he said, amen, it's only one of me. He said, I'm just only a... They figured they could drown him out because of the... Let me tell you, tradition is not going to drown anything out but you and your children. Thank God. And them that's around you is the only thing that's going to drown out. Oh, we see that Elijah begin, amen, to make ready, said, get us a couple of bullets. I'll let them offer up the first one, and then, amen, at the evening sacrifice, I'm going to offer one. Come on. Oh, glory. And he said, the God that answers by fire upon this altar, let him be God. All right. Amen. Let him, let who? Let God be God. I want you to know that you said, well, what kind of religious people was he? Brother, they were false prophets that worshiped idols. That's what they was. We got a lot of folk in this dead hour don't know what it means to worship God, because the Bible says that the true worshiper must worship him in spirit and in truth. For he seeketh such to worship him. They jumped upon the altar, cut themselves with knives and with stones, and amen, till the blood gushed out. Amen, from the morning sacrifice till the time of the evening sacrifice. Not a thing happened. And then we see that Elijah repaired the altar, had him to bring 3 barrels of water one time, amen, and again, thank God, and pour around it till the trench was all filled. And then he prayed, amen, and God sent down fire from heaven right in their very presence, right in their very eyes. Brother, I want you to know that religious tradition had them bound till it didn't mean one thing to them. Are you hearing me all right? You say, now, preacher, I hadn't got any of that. I'll tell you what you'll have. You'll have all kinds of them little doodaddies hanging on you if you don't crucify them around the cross, at the foot of the cross. You'll have them hanging. Come on! Let me hear from somebody. I said, they're there. And the only way that we're going to get out of that mess is to keep it crucified, covered with the blood. Hallelujah! Now, where we can be a brother or a sister to those that know Jesus Christ. Be a partaker. And they watched all this thing happen. Thank God. Amen. And he had to run for his life because Jezebel was after him. And he had to run again for his life. Thank God, because she is after him to slay him, because they did not believe what he said. Even though he slayed the prophets, she was out for slaying him. You see, this tradition started a long, long time ago. It's no new thing. No new thing. And exactly this is what nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. This is what crucified him. This is the very thing that crucified him. Hallelujah. Now, is there any such a thing as a cure? Yes, they are. There's a cure for it. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Only self-denial. Only getting down before God and humbling ourselves. Thank God, before him, we'll take care of that tradition that's keeping us from worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Amen? We can see that when Jesus was born into this world, the Son of God, it was written in the law, in the book of the law, but they didn't believe it. Are you hearing me? They didn't believe it. They wouldn't look at it that way. You know why they didn't believe it? Them traditions had them covered up head, hands, eyes, ears, feet, and all. If you can see anything tonight, you ought to thank God for it. Come on. If you can see anything, you ought to be thanking God for it. These people had this tradition in them so much that they began to watch this little boy. He began to move out from his father and mother at the age of 12. They lost him. They had to go back and get him because he said, "Wist not that I must be about my father's business." They began to eyeball him. They eyeballed him, and the further he went, the bigger this mountain of traditions got. It builds a mountain. They begin to build up and say, "Man, this man is going to take our kingdom. This man will have an earthly kingdom. He's going to take over here." And this thing began to grow. And as Jesus, I began to walk the shores of Galilee, turn the water into wine, performing one miracle right after another, right in their very eyes. They eyeballed him. They followed him. They went to that feast. 90% of those folk went to that feast to see if they could accuse him, what they could get against him. Well, what was wrong with them people? Amen. He turned the water into wine. I'm satisfied some of them was a partaker of drinking that very wine that he made out of water. Thank God. But it didn't change their traditional ideas. Not one bit. Not a bit. And they followed him. They followed him everywhere they could kiss him. They followed him. Thank God. Amen. And I could see him. Amen. When he went to the house of a man that had palsy, and he not in the house that the man had palsy, but where the palsy man was brought, I could see as he gathered, and there as he prayed for folks, amen, the place was crowded. I could see as this traditional group, amen, I know they didn't want this man let down through the roof. But there were some faithful men that went and brought a man sick of the palsy. They couldn't get him in the door. Amen. It was too crowded. And they had to take him on the roof. You know the story. And they had to let him down. Come on. Thank God. And as they let him down to that roof, I'm trying to paint you a picture. It'll keep us from seeing miracles. It'll keep us from receiving healing. It'll keep us from getting our souls saved. Thank God. Unless we can break these things that we have heard and have heard of. Thank God. It's what saith the word of the Lord. It's what's going to count. Oh, they couldn't get him in, and they let him down through the roof. Jesus knew the hardness of their hearts. Man, they didn't want to see that man healed. They'd have given every cow in their pasture if that man hadn't been healed. Amen. Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their hearts. He knew their thoughts. Amen. Thank God. He said, amen, which is easier to say of the man to the palsy, "Amen, thy sins be forgiven thee," or to rise, take up your bed and walk. And man, they all had their feet stuck in the ground. They had saw a lot of miracles before, and they said, "He can't do it on the Sabbath day. No, it's not lawful for him to do it on the Sabbath day." And they begin to hammer down on him. They begin to let this old tradition roll over and over and over and over and over in their mind. Oh, but Jesus knew the heart into the heart, and he said, "Rise, take up your bed, thank God, and walk." And he picked that bed up, amen, and started out with it. Praise God. As he started out with that bed, I could hear them most back traditional Pharisees saying, "Hey, man, you can't do that. Hey, man, you can't do that." Thank God. And as far as they could see, they were saying, "You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's not lawful. Thank God you can't do it." But they didn't stop him. Let me tell you, you can't let tradition stop you. I believe they followed him off down the road. Some of them are saying, "It's not right. It's not lawful." power in traditions. They stayed on his trail. They didn't quit. One day I could see as he walked up to a pool where the waters was trouble. Amen. Angel came down at a certain season. Amen. And trouble the waters. Amen. But Jesus came to that pool one day. Amen. He came to that pool. The old boy began, he said, "Will thou be made whole?" He began to put up a hard luck story. But he had so much damn traditions in him. He thought if he didn't get it in that pool, he never would get it. A lot of folk got a lot of little pools built. And if they don't get it out of the pool, they sure won't get it from Jesus. Come on! If they can't get it out of the pool, amen, if they couldn't get it under the law, they sure didn't want it under grace. They didn't want it because, amen, they didn't want to recognize Jesus as being the Son of the living God. Folks, I'm preaching to you one of the most powerful sources, amen, to doom human being that you'll ever find today is the spirit of tradition. Tradition of the elders. What they had been taught. Now, religious traditions is the strongest, the hardest to break of any tradition on earth. Jesus stood at that pool and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Amen. Glory. Well, come on, somebody say amen. Or oh me or something. Praise God. Now, folks, when people don't serve God, won't serve God, don't you tell me that there's not some reason why they don't. I know there's different reasons that people don't. But the main reason is some old hokey-spokey that somewhere in your background you've been taught that it really wasn't so. If you want to just get down to the nitty-gritty, because somewhere in your background, your fathers didn't do it, they didn't believe in it, they didn't act upon it, and therefore, you won't act upon it. Now, when Stephen was stoned to death in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, you know what he said in the closing of his message of about 55 verses long? You know what he said? He said, "Ye always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye." Oh, it made him mad. It made him mad. But he told him the truth anyhow, didn't he? So what was wrong with that group of people that was about to stone Stephen to death? What was wrong with them? I can tell you exactly what was wrong with them. They was out of that traditional bunch that never could get it broke. Thank God, therefore, they killed a just man, a good man, and one that told the truth, a godly man, and they watched him die. Thank God, and rejoiced while he's dying, because tradition had those folks blinded. Thank God, and covered till they couldn't see the way out. Oh, God, help us tonight. Come on, folks, shout it. My God, if you're born in tradition, wake up. It's been on my heart for 2 years. Now I'm feeling a lot better. Hallelujah. I'm feeling better. Let me tell you, folks, it's a good possibility if you don't examine yourself around God's altars that you've got this disease in a bad way and don't know it. But God's got the cure. I said God's got the cure. Amen. He said, "Listen, Jesus, when I would go down into the water, there's another that just gets off in front of me." Oh, my God, help us tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother Chisholm, you don't know. You don't know what's happening. All these things that stands in my way. And I know if I ever get it, I'll have to get it just like Grandma said I would. I'll have to get it just like Uncle John said, or I can't get it. I got to go to that little old pool. I got to wait there till I moss over. Amen. And trying to get in that pool.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Mine, he didn't get more than get that out of his mouth till he said, "Rise! Take up your bed and walk." Here it goes again. Amen. Do you know what the Bible Solomon's five porches. A multitude of people on those five porches. They was all looking in on the scene. They was all out for the same purpose. They was lame, halt, withered, blind, all of it. I could see some probably just, you know, maybe just had one leg. Maybe just a half a leg. Maybe just one arm. Maybe no arms at all. But they were sitting there waiting to be made whole in that tomb. Now hear me. Jesus said, take up your bed and walk. Get up, man. Said, you can't do that, man. Don't you know you can't do that? Don't you know you can't do that? This old tradition, your spirit kind of cried, saying, don't you know you can't? Don't you know you can't? Don't you know you can't? Don't you know it's not right? My God. And he went on down the road anyway. Amen. Saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. Thank God. And those folks were saying, you're not healed. You can't be. It can't happen that way. You've got to get it out of the pool. You've got to go down into the pool. Come on. Thank God. He said, I'm healed. I'm healed. They said, no, you can't be. Oh, my God, raise your hand and glorify God today. That's enough. I'm healed. They said, who healed you? Nobody that caught up with him for a while. I believe those old fellas that had that crippled leg coming up.
Arguing with the man that he wasn't healed and him a car in his bed. And they had laid there with him no telling how many years. And they said, man, you can't do it like this. Are you with me? He said, the same man, I didn't know, I wish not who it was, but the same man, the same man that healed me. Told me, take up my bed and walk. Glory to God. And he obeyed what he said. Amen. Lawful or unlawful. Now come on, hear me. I want you to know the devil's going to make you feel like a lot of things is unlawful for you. That you never want to make a fool out of yourself. That you never want to react to the Spirit and power of God. I got news for you. We'll either get under the spout where the glory of God's being poured out. Our friends, we won't receive what God's got in store for us. You mark it. That didn't stop him. He's right on his trail. Right on his trail. I wished I had time to go on through this. I want to show you this is what crucified him. This is what crucified him. They began, amen, to try to plan to kill him. How to do away with him. Amen. And everywhere he went, they went. And this thing got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Because it was cultivated. And the further it went, the worse it got. And they stayed on his trail. Till one day, thank God, one of the 12, I wished I had time to go through more of this, but we want an altar service tonight. One of the 12 betrayed him just like he said. Amen. Betrayed him. Thank God. And give him a sign. And I can see him as they went out and got him. Now they went after him a time or two. Amen. One time I recall. Amen. And he just spoke to them. Amen. And they fell flat to the ground. Looked like that to wean that much, don't it? But it didn't. You want to know why it didn't? Traditions is powerful. Are you hearing me all right? Traditions is the most powerful weapon that the devil's got to use in these last days. Hear what I'm saying? Hear me? Amen. That old weapon of tradition is what keeps people from stoning God's orders and getting exactly what God wants them to have. It'll do it. They stayed on his trail. They didn't give up. Amen. And at last he was betrayed in the hands of sinful men.
I can see as Peter, him and the other disciples stood with him by him. Peter smote up the servant, the high priest, his ear. Amen. Jesus picked it back up and healed it right in their own sight. That didn't slow their activity down a bit. Amen. They took him right on. Amen. They took him before. Amen. The council anyway. Thank God they condemned him to crucify him. Amen. And they did crucify him, my friend. Thank God, because, amen, he was the Son of God. And they were a people that was so traditional blinded. Thank God that they couldn't know any difference. Now, some of you are pondering in your heart whether or not we have anybody like that today. I want you to know we've got more Pharisees and Sadducees today than they had in that time, because we got lots more people. We've got every kind of a form of religion you could mention. Folks, don't quit me. And I tell you what I want to see. I want to see this altar compassed about. Amen. When we open it up, I want to see you partake around the altars of God. Amen. Because that's what it's going to take to break the yoke. That's what it's going to take to destroy the yoke, is to compass the altars of God. Not what I said, but what says the Word of God. We need it. Ephesians 6 and 10 said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. Put on. Do what? Put on the whole armor of God. Make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusties thereof. They stayed on his trail. Amen. They led him up Golgotha's hill. Amen. Listen to me. Thank God, I'd like to went back where he prayed in the garden. I hadn't got time. We got to go on. They led him up the hill. They platted a crown of thorns they put on his head. Amen. They pressed them down into his brow. Of all the miracles he did ever performed, didn't mean anything to them. Are you hearing me all right? Of the water being turned to wine, blind eyes are being healed, lame walking, lepers cleansed, didn't mean one iota to those folks. Oh, friends, I feel something right now. I feel some feedbacks and some go ye's and a little of everything right now. Hallelujah! Amen! Surrender your life to God, saying, Lord, amen, I know today's the day of salvation. Now's accepting time. And I know that my routines of the flesh and traditions, religious traditions, will never take me to heaven. They crucified him. And they put him in a tomb. Oh, glory. 3 days he was in that tomb. They set up watches. They knew what happened when he died on that cross. I tell you, the veil of that temple was ripped from top to bottom. Broke all of it down. But that didn't mean anything to them. They're all shook. There was darkness over the land. It didn't mean nothing to that powerful source of tradition. Come on, folks. I'm giving you my heart tonight, because I feel this is what God wants me to do. I'd like to preach a different message if I just had my way. I'd love to. I promise God I'd preach it. Amen. I promise God I'd preach it. I don't aim to take it back. Amen. I don't aim to take it back. Don't you be robbed of what God has in store for you by any tradition, by any name, by any organization, by any creed or color or kind. Be a child of the King. Stand up with the church. Stand up to be counted. Amen. In the midst of the church world. The third day, the women went early to the sepulchre. They found the stone. Amen. Glory to God, was rolled away. Hallelujah. My God, I want you to know our traditions will never stop God from working. Our traditions will never prolong, amen, His coming. Thank God He's coming after those that have made themselves ready. Oh, of all we think, of all we've heard, of all we've imagined, mentioned. Yes, grasp the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. Hallelujah to God, and stand on our two feet. Amen. And take what's ours. We've got an inheritance through Jesus Christ. But the third day they went to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. Amen. And they looked in and they saw a man there that was clothed in linen, in white linen and white. Amen. And he said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here." Oh, they set a watch at that tomb, Don. It's just as useless, amen, as it could be. And it's still useless. Brother, we'll never bar the powers of God. We'll never conquer it. We can be as traditional as we want to be. We can name it, claim it, do anything we want to do. It's going to take a reality to go to heaven. You're going to have it below the fifth rib. You're going to have to live something. You're going to have to be something. Thank God, because God, amen, won't have garbage. He came out of that tomb. Amen. They saw the napkin. Amen. They saw the linen. Amen. But he was gone. They went back and told the disciples that he's risen. I missed just a little. I'd like to back up and get. When Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, I want you to get this with me. He went to the tomb of Lazarus. Amen. And there he found a dead man that had been dead 2 days. 4 days he tarried to before he went, and he'd taken them to, amen, to get there. 4 days this man had been dead. Wrapped him, bound him, embalmed him, and put him in a grave. Hallelujah. I've been told that some of those graves was as much as 130 foot deep, or back in a rock. There was a stone rolled to that door. Amen. This same group of people were standing there. I want you to notice, these people who crucified him no doubt was right there at the resurrection of Lazarus. They was right there at the resurrection of Lazarus. No doubt in my mind they was right there. And they watched this very miracle happen. And he stood at that door and he wept. Told them to roll away the stone. They took the stone away. Amen. And Jesus looked up to heaven and he began to pray a simple prayer. He said, "Father, thou hast always heard me. And I ask you to do it again, Lord." Amen. For the sake of this group of traditional folks that's standing around me, I want you to do it again. Amen. Amen. And then he cried with a loud voice, said, "Lazarus, come forth." I don't know how he got out in them grave clothes, buddy, but he got out. And I want to tell you, you may be bound in grave clothes tonight till you don't feel like you can move. God can bring you from the very darkest corner of the world tonight. He can loose you, thank God, and let you go. He came forth and Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." But brother, all these things they saw, and it did not make a dent in them. Did you know it? The Bible said that many of the Jews believed, but in studying the scripture, I think I have definitely found where some of these Jews that believed turned right around and begin to growl and grumble and complain about circumcision and all those sort of things. See what I'm talking about? That tradition was so strong in them, amen, that it kicked up later. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's the strongest, it's a powerful source in the Word of God. If you don't believe it, read the Word of God, study it. You'll find that tradition is the most powerful weapon that the devil has ever had to work with. The most powerful weapon he's ever had. Friends, they didn't stop. They started on the apostles. The same old thing, Don, started on the apostles. Yes, sir. They started trying to kill the disciples. The apostles, they started trying to kill them. They killed James with a sword, tucked Peter, put him in jail. They saw all of these things. But none of these things changed them. Come on. None of them was changing them. yet either. It takes a genuine salvation. I mean a heartfelt, a no-show, not a handshake. Come on.